Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Friday special, Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Friday, December 7th. Sorry we didn't get to you guys sooner this week. We had some other things come up, and we wanted to make sure we got a show in before next week. We had quite a bit going on this past weekend and even this past week. So I'll be joining you this evening, as well as Jonathan Birdsong here momentarily. But we wanted to throw in a Friday night special for about an hour or so tonight, give you something, throw it up on the iTunes store as well. Looking ahead at future episodes, we will do another one this Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Tuesday, back to our normal time. And then we will do one more the following. Still doing one the following week before we take the next following week off for Christmas. So we've got a total of three shows left today, next Tuesday, and the following one. But we will do that. Looking ahead, this next weekend, we have quite a bit going on in the NFL. A lot of big games this weekend. Looking at the Indianapolis Colts real quick before Jonathan hops aboard. Colts and Texans in Houston. Houston Texans are hot right now. They've won 9 straight. They beat the Indianapolis Colts. If you remember, they went for it on 4th down, did not get it. Questionable for overtime. It would have been ended in a tie. This is what put the streak on for the Houston Texans. And right now they haven't looked back, and they are leading the AFC South. We had the ball game last night between Tennessee and Jacksonville. Tennessee just thumped Jacksonville. And just really put it to them. And that even shows Colts fans more of how much of a disappointment it was last week when the Colts lost 6-0. The offense just couldn't get clicking. The defense hung in there all game. There was a questionable call at the end on the out-of-bounds. Was it forward progress? Was he out-of-bounds? Should the clock have stopped? But really, if you look at this, now, the Colts have to win this week. They are playing in Houston. And if they don't win, the 6th seed is kind of out of reach for them. Yes, they're tied with other teams, but with all these tiebreakers, let's see. Give me 1 second here. Live radio. Gotta love that. And we have some technical difficulties trying to get Jonathan on right now, so we're going to hit a quick ad real quick, and then I'll get back with you guys.
Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism, specializing in aerial photography and videography. Using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights.
All right, we are back from that ad read, and I think we got Jonathan on. JB, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Brandon? How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for joining. I filled all our listeners in. We were doing like a little Friday night special, a little hour-long Friday night special that they can hop on this weekend and catch. We had quite a bit going on this past week in sports. We'll kind of hit with NFL the main topics from the week, if there was any games from last week that stood out to us, and then kind of look forward to this next weekend. So, other than that, how you been?
Been doing just fine, gearing up for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got to still do my shopping. I have not even started it just yet. So it's coming up quick. I was talking before you got on a little bit about the the Colts and kind of where they sit with this weekend's game against the Texans. It's kind of a must win for Indianapolis. The Texans are hot. They've won nine straight, hottest team in the league right now after they beat the Colts with that questionable call there at the end of overtime from Frank Wright. But the Colts, this is almost a must win for them if they're going to try to get that sixth seed, especially with the upset, the surprise upset last night with Tennessee just destroying Jacksonville.
Yeah. I almost don't want to get unprofessional when talking about the Colts, because then too much of my fandom comes out, and then you just don't really like, you know, my credibility to be shot. But, yes, they are definitely on a – I mean, because it used to be the looking at the schedule, that was one of the wins we had pegged for us, right? You know, I mean, as a fan, you say, hey, man, we got Jacksonville's a mess. It's
right.
Been a mess. And, you know, and we can go down there and offensively couldn't score a touchdown on. I don't know. You scratch your head about should they kick the field goal, you don't leave points on the board or whatever. But yeah, you can't. You know this. Then what you do appreciate about this particular Colts regime is that a lot of fans are still in question mode of questioning the coach. I still feel like the fans still think Chuck Pagano's still here. So you know every move, you know the aggressiveness that Coach Reich shows. People are like, oh man, I don't know if I would have did that. Well, of course you wouldn't did it because you're a fan and he's the coach, right? So,
right.
So with all that being said, you know, the coach put themselves behind the eight ball, and they have to come out with a victory. If they plan to, you know, to play in January, they have to come out with a victory on Sunday against Texas.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of heard it a little bit on Sports Talk Radio today was. It makes you such a head scratcher how bad Jacksonville played last night. They made Derrick Henry look like Barry Sanders, and it just shows how lackluster of an effort the Colts put up the week before. The offense just could do nothing against Jacksonville.
Well, it felt like you know they went on vacation. You know they went in. Well, begs the question, you know, because correct me if I'm wrong, we had some guys that were out. As we know, tight end, he's out. He's responsible for blocking. He's responsible for a lot of the blocking, you know, the block protection help
right.
that Andrew Luck gets. And he's still a part of the offense, so we missed that. I think, didn't Ryan Kelly not play as well?
Correct. And he is out this week as well.
So even with, the Colts getting praised for offensive line and rightfully so. I'm not gonna question the moves they made. You know, obviously, I'm the one that said, you know, yeah, that's what you need because of the situation with the quarterback getting constantly sacked here. But you know, it's still you know a delicate thing. So two guys out kind of hurts. You know what the Colts want to do offensively, but still, you know, you don't want to make too many excuses. You should have put points on the board. You should at least put 14 against Jacksonville at least.
Correct. Yeah, it was I got to see the towards the end. Yeah, questionable call. Was it forward progression? Was he out of bounds? I personally thought he was out of bounds and they should have had another possession. But
yeah,
the Colts weren't the only team in the league to get screwed, something like that.
Kind of hard to watch that. It's kind of hard to watch that. But the Colts got themselves behind eight ball and they got to beat the Texans. And technically, guess what? They got to win out, you know.
Yep. Every game is a playoff game.
If we go back to like week two or three when we first start talking about, we didn't have no belief in the Ravens. We knew Joe Falco was going to fold, but heck, we didn't know the rookie was going to come in and hold his own, and he kind of has. So the Ravens are still there in the hunt, and so is Brandon. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's a lot of teams that are kind of like blah. You know, they're not necessarily special, super special on offense, and not necessarily super special on defense. You know, they're kind of this, you know, blah. And that's kind of where we're at right now. But you kind of expect the Colts to kind of be the top of the heap of the blood teams.
Uh-huh.
And right now,
yeah.
Right now, not, you know.
Yeah, you've got, you know, they're tied with Miami and Denver. Denver is sneaky hot. They have beaten some of the upper echelon teams. So far this year, they've beaten Kansas City. They've beaten the Chargers. They've beaten Pittsburgh. That's, you know, three teams right there in the playoffs.
Yeah. Denver's, that's what I said, you know, it's not going to, like, you know, everybody's going to, if the Colts are going to win out, right, so the Colts go 8-8 or, you know, worse, right? Let's not think worse. If the Colts go 8-8, they ain't making the playoffs, okay? But if the Colts go 8-8, it's going to be a somber winter around here, around Indianapolis. But remember, you know, we went into the season thinking is our quarterback 100%. Is our offensive line what it's going to be? What are we looking at here, running back? Now we know. We know we are capable. The Colts know. I can't keep on saying we. like I'm part of ownership, right? The Colts know what they need. They have the ability to go get it, either from drafting, because this is face. The guy knows what he's doing. I know a lot of people still want to question some of his moves, but because he didn't spend money, you know, this season, but. You know, a lot of GMs now, they like to build a homegrown, you know, I pick the guy, not the guy that, you know, we need to pick more guys between ages of 21 and 26, not 28 and 35. Not in the NFL, you don't want that. You know, guys trying to cash out between 28 and 35, they're all dinged up. They're a little step slow. You know, We want the guys between 21, 25, I would assume, or 26, I would assume, you know. But
– right.
The Colts know what they need going to the offseason. I know there'll be a bunch of talk about what the Colts need, passing. And I think the defense is just fine as far as pass rushers. If they get it now, if they have the opportunity to draft an elite guy, of course. But they really need a game breaker. And I know, you know, some people say that can be fixed with, you know, bringing in Le'Veon Bell because he does a little bit of both. But they need a taller receiver.
And oh, yeah.
I mean, Le'Veon Bell is a game breaker. He's a game changer. But, you know, there's also a question mark with what he brings into the locker room. I won't get into that. But that's not what this Colts team needs. It'd be nice to have him, but that's not what this Colts team needs a game breaker. Somebody that.
Yeah.
And nothing to get T.Y. Hilton. You know what I mean? And Ebron's having a great season. I think he's going to be a pro pro, but. Coaching another game breaker.
Absolutely.
I don't necessarily think that's in the first round, but I mean, again, we got to get through bowl season before we can start the draft, though.
But exactly.
The coach should feel happy. Coach fans should feel happy, even as long as the Colts go 8-8.
Absolutely. This weekend, with them going to to Houston to play, the Colts have already ruled out Mo Alie-Cox out of the game. They've Ryan Kelly, obviously, he's going to miss his third straight. And then wide receiver Dontrell Inman is going to be out with a shoulder injury. So they called up a wide receiver off the practice squad. I can't even think of his name right now. Reese Fountain. So fifth-round pick. He'll get his first action. T.Y. came back this week. T.Y. will be a game-time decision on Sunday. It's very crucial they get this win because Tennessee's got a very soft schedule the rest of the way. They've got the Giants coming up. They've got the Redskins. And then they've got Indianapolis again. So three games right there for them that are going to be very important. They're right there in that wild card picture. So overall, prediction for this Sunday. God, it's so close away because we're already on a Friday. I think Houston gets it done. It's a close game, but Houston wins 34-31.
They got to contain Watson. And Houston, I think they're like top three or two or three in rushing. And I think, you know, quarterback, he plays a part. I thought total yards rush. He plays a part in that, I think.
Yes.
He kind of makes them go. We know O'Brien. They've gotten better at protecting, but that's where the Colts have to make their attack at. But offensively is where, you know, we're kind of questioning. Guess what? Nobody questions the Colts defense anymore. They're not questioning the Colts offense, right, after 1 week. They got to figure out a way how to – my guy, the rookie, I can't think of his name right now, name escapes me. He did not have the greatest game against Clowney and J.J. Watt last time out. So They have to figure out a way how to block those two, get protection for Andrew Luck, basically.
Yeah. Prediction?
Colts is a close one.
Ooh.
I'm not giving a score, though. Colts. You think I'm
okay.
Pick the Texans? Who knows? Who coaches the Texans? That dude, if he had a brain, he'd be dangerous.
Yeah. All right. Well,
that,
the next
one. That team's winning in spite of him. Despite his coaching.
Well, the next topic's going to make you a little uncomfortable, and I've got my sound bite.
Uh-oh.
We're playing the bagpipes, because last week on the show, Jonathan Birdsong stood up on a box, soapbox, and he chanted out to the universe, to the internet universe, to the podcast universe, that Aaron Rodgers was going to make the greatest run in professional football. And what the hell happened in Lambeau? Please explain.
I guess he's luckily he didn't get rid of the monster when he was saying it. But
I feel like he quit on McCarthy. I feel like he quit.
They're not on the same page. They haven't been on the same page right for a long time. And Aaron Rodgers sees all these quarterbacks throwing, you know, having these great games statistically, and he's trying to figure out why can't they do that, and it's because he feels that they run a playbook from the early 2000s instead of, or currently.
Well, I know Mike McCarthy's not taking it too well. He did go get a visit the team twice, and. And luckily ownership let him do that, but I don't think he stays out of coaching long. I don't think he could even have a new job as early as next year. Don't be shocked if he ends up in Jacksonville.
They're gonna get rid of the coach? Already in Jacksonville? Maybe.
Absolutely. There's so much turmoil in that locker room.
Yeah, McCarthy's a football guy. You know, him and Aaron just not on the same page. I got a tweet saying, suggesting that as you talk about somebody who quit, I didn't want to transition to Urban just yet, but somebody just tweeted me at maybe Urban Meyer, and I was like, I doubt it. I don't think Urban wants no part of the pro game, period.
Right.
Yeah. We're interested. Goes on with Green Bay going further.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a young guy they bring in over in the summertime.
Josh McDaniels?
Oh. Good luck.
I knew you were going to say something like that. Yeah, it's. When I heard that report, I said, oh, God, here we go again. So it'd be very interesting. Another news item for the NFL, unfortunately broke this week. The TMZ video, Kareem Hunt. Domestic altercation, I guess you want to call it, with a female caught on camera. The Chiefs instantly released him. The NFL has suspended him. The bad situation all around. And apparently this is from what we're hearing, and it's not the first time an incident like this has happened with him. It sounds like the guy needs to get some help, and football needs to be put on the back burner for him, even though he thinks he's going to pick up a team next year. I don't even think next year's the proper time for him to get back into the league. It's, no man should. I was very shocked and appalled when I saw the video, and no man should ever do that.
Right. The first thing that comes to mind is that I remember, I know the NBA does, and I'm sure NFL does, there's copycat everything. Guys are supposed to have these like rookie classes or whatever, like before you get into the league and get all this money and get all this fame or whatever.
All right.
Potential fame, superstardom or whatever. These are the things that are going to happen to you because guess what? They've happened to other people before, and this is what happened to them, and it didn't turn out right for them. But, so whatever happened is like all these guys think that, well, again, don't put yourself in bad situations, and then bad situations won't happen. So it was a shocker. So when you first hear it, you're like, wow, what the hell did he do? Then you see it, you're like, oh, my God. Yeah, of course. So it ruins a dream season for his teammates and for what potentially could be, because it does take away from the Kansas City Chiefs. It does. It just does.
Yeah.
You know, But I mean, as a black male, again, you know, already, I mean, I don't even take the show political, Brandon, but like people already think ill of you in certain parts of the world. So you just feed into that when those types of things happen. And those
right.
types of things can be avoided. Dudes can, I mean, I ain't trying to, I don't want to go rated R, rated X. Like dudes with a lot of cash, like NFL guys and ballers or whatever, they have a lot of cash. There's a lot of women that want them or whatever. And, you know, seemingly there's no reason for all that. There is not. You can have a traveling party, and it's a smarter way to party. How about that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, another instance.
I learned that a long time ago. I partied on a budget at Ball State University. From
there you go.
But they didn't need to find a smarter way to party.
Yeah, another example, Reuben Foster. You know, he got domestic assault in a team hotel room down in Tampa 2 weeks ago, and it was with the same woman who the first allegations came up with the first time. Like, if you haven't learned the first time, and then you go and do it again, I and then the Redskins pick you up. So that's a whole nother scenario that I don't understand there. But
yeah, it's bugged because NFL guys, when you talk to them, right, they have a sense of entitlement, but it's not like, I mean, sorry, basketball guys, it's not like basketball. Basketball guys, you could have been Mr. Basketball and still, like, man, hey, you know what, I hear stories, Brandon. Lou Gehrig still think he's going to make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, basketball guys think they just, like, one shot away. And usually, like, football guys, like, man, I made it, now I got to go to work, right? So there's,
mm-hmm.
but they're still, you know, still a little cocky, still a little entitled, somewhat. You know, who cares, right? Right? When you're out talking trash at a bar or whatever. But it's just amazing, man. Like, you know, I would think they would say, hey, appreciate it more. You know what I mean? And do things, like I said, do things. Don't put yourself in these situations.
Yep. Absolutely.
The NFL is like, I know you don't get a second chance league. It's not. They don't. Johnny Manziel ain't never coming through that door. I mean, white or black, happy or sad, it doesn't matter. If you offend or do whatever, you're not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vic got lucky because he's a quarterback and he had, you know, star ability. But outside of that, who else came back, Brandon? Once you're gone, you know?
Exactly. Looking backwards at last week real quick, before we put a bow on last week's game, since we're not going to go through them all, but just a couple of high points. I believe I am the one that's called, and I called last Thursday night's game. And then you kind of did what the Colts did to the Houston Texans back in week four. And when you called out the Cowboys, the boys had not stopped winning. They beat the New Orleans Saints. Soundly.
I don't listen to Will Kane, and actually, when I hear his voice, it irritates me. It does. Just a little
that's
bit.
That's like me and Levitard.
Dude, I couldn't believe it. Turned into the Aints for like one night.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't the only team. Another big team, the Bears, who laid an egg in overtime and lost to the Giants. Glad to see the Giants win, personally.
Yeah, the Bears season is going to be – Trubisky's got to get healthy. Because, again, you know, it's a fine line with winning and being on the plus side of winning. So, you know, they got to get their starting quarterback in because, you know, they're still – listen, they're a great defensive team, but it's still an offensive league. So.
Yeah. You've got the Patriots who just put it to Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah. I don't know why in the hell. Hey, man. They call Minnesota. If they had, man, they need to start over. Throw the whole team away. Throw the whole team away.
Another team that's hotter than even Minnesota was that's making a stride in the NFC West because all your attention's at the Rams, but the Seahawks are on a roll. Their offense is starting to get rolling. Pete Carroll, I know you're not a Pete Carroll guy, but 7-5 right now. They're rolling as it gets closer to the playoffs.
Man, I love Pete Carroll. I love USC Pete Carroll. I still need to see more from Seattle. Still need to see more.
We'll see. And then the nightcap Sunday evening, Steelers lose 33-30. They had a large lead on San Diego, or excuse me, Los Angeles. And there was a lot of questionable calls in that game. The first San Diego touchdown was very questionable. The second touchdown was very questionable. Should have been a false start. I don't know what the hell the NFL referees were thinking there. Completely false start. And then the kicks at the end of the game. The one was legal that he did and blocked it. And then the ref said that was an offside. So very frustrating as a Steeler fan there. But
you're only frustrated because your division's, you're still going to win the division. Your division is dysfunctional.
Yeah, but you know what? Winning a division doesn't get you to an AFC championship game at home or away from Foxborough. I'll tell you that. And that's what's going to end up being.
They got a test in Foxborough coming up. It's coming.
Yeah, we do. Well, it's in Pittsburgh. We'll take that. But should be interesting. College football. Let's swing on over to the college game. We had championship game weekend. If you listened to my picks last week, folks, you would have went 6-0. You would have won 6-0. Because not on the spreads always, but I went with a huge parlay last week. We hit, we made money. It was amazing. But say that, okay, Georgia, you did not get blown out by Alabama, but you found the most stupidest way to lose to Alabama. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I watched them, and you know what, man? I tell you what. Two things. If Urban Meyer was coaching Georgia, they'd be playing the national championship game. I promise you. If Urban Meyer was coaching Georgia. So, I tell you, who's Georgia's coach? That guy? I know
Kirby Smart.
Here in a second, but whoever's listening, in 2 years after that dude chumps out and don't beat Alabama, you're going to be sick of him. And then that's when you're going to want, you know, Frankenstein over here drilling holes in his head, Urban Meyer. That's what's going to happen. He's going to chill up. Anyway, listen, I was disgusted. I was disgusted with the top. You already know, dude. I was disgusted with the top. Well, what the people projected the top four teams to be. They found an excuse, and we talked about it off. You know what I mean? Off air. We talked about it. Yes, the Big 12. I'm sorry, Big 10 fans. Technically, the Big 12 with all its fancy schmancy 72 and 67 point games was better than the Big 10 this year. However, people found an excuse to put Oklahoma in because the championship committee still thinks Georgia's the best team, the fourth best team in the league. And I'm saying, man, who'd they beat, Brandon? They lost all their major games.
Uh-huh. It's
who'd
conference.
The conference is, dude, you're about to make – you know, my new enemy is the SEC commissioner.
They beat Florida, who was number 9 in the country.
Wow. It's Florida. But see, you know what, Brandon? That's not Tim Tebow, Florida, no more.
I agree. They beat Kentucky.
That's not even Danny World. That's not even who? They beat Kentucky.
At Kentucky. Kentucky was top 10 team at that point.
Brandon, watch Penn State roll Kentucky. Remember Kentucky's a great defensive team, right? Penn State's going to try to put 60 on them. Penn State's going to try to put 60 on them in the Peach Bowl, whatever freaking bowl they're playing. I think it is a Peach Bowl, actually.
Yeah.
Penn State's gonna put 55. Penn State's gonna put 55 on Kentucky. I don't want to hear about Kentucky. You definitely know I don't want to hear about Tennessee because they're chump too.
Ooh. I will tell you this about Georgia. I was never one point. They are, but I will tell you this: watching that game, it was never in doubt for me that Alabama was going to win, even when they were down 21-7 or whatever.
I was waiting for the moment. As soon as the dude missed the field goal, I was like, dude, they should have pulled.
I saw that tweet. You said it's things like this.
They should have pulled that kid's scholarship last year.
Yep. I think I've got a new name for the Georgia Bulldogs, and I'm gonna send a letter into the campus and see if they can change their team name. But they should be known as the Atlanta Falcon Juniors, the JV squad of the Atlanta Falcons, because if you choke away a lead like that.
Nah.
I think the state of Georgia's cursed.
Yeah, Urban Meyer's not going. He wouldn't go back to an SEC team. I think he's going. In my personal opinion, like, you know, that, I know I'm talking crazy, but I think he's going. If he ever does come back, it'll be to a Pac. It'll be to a Pac-10 team.
I think he's done.
Never say never. Never.
Yeah, I think he's done though.
But hold on though, Brandon. I can zone out on Georgia, you know, whatever. But listen, man, you telling me. The football world is telling me the ACC is the best conference. They sent two teams to the championship game.
Notre Dame's not really in the ACC. They just play the schedule.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
Basketball,
wow,
there, not football.
They play seven teams, and they play Georgia Tech. They play Wake Forest. Chump, chump, chump. Miami. They don't even play Miami this year. Florida State play Florida State this year. Chump. They beat Michigan. Pat yourselves on the back.
Oof.
Man, I'm telling you, dude, I'm disappointed.
I can tell.
It needs to be expanded.
You're fired up.
It just needs to be expanded. Notre Dame is deserving to be, and they played a great – they did. I'm saying they played Notre Dame schedule, right? Sorry, Jeff Hochul, if you're listening. He's the biggest Notre Dame fan I know. But, no, for real, they played a great schedule, and they won out. But – it's a hard – man, Oklahoma, they lost to Texas, Brandon.
But they beat them. Redemption.
So Ohio State doesn't get a chance to play Purdue, so Ohio State is deserving to get into the championship game.
Here's the thing, John. There's the X factor for Oklahoma. The X factor is you want to have your Heisman Trophy winner in the college football playoff.
It's so political.
But it's true, right? Kyler Murray is going to win, though. He has my vote for Heisman over Tua.
Well,
who's Tua? Who's Tua played? Who has he played?
They beat who they were supposed to beat.
And so did Georgia. And so did Oklahoma.
Oklahoma didn't beat Texas, and Texas lost to a Big Ten team.
But they did it when it mattered most, and that was in that college in the Big 12 championship.
Because I also heard people say, well, it's because the points. Like Purdue beat Ohio State, blew them out. So that's the reason why.
Do you want to know another reason why Oklahoma's in it and these teams are not? Oklahoma lost their starting running back, who was going to be a Heisman candidate, first or second game of the year, and they overcame that to get to where they're at, too.
You're telling me, Brandon, you're telling me about a Heisman? I'm telling you about Haskins. He's going to be, what, number two or three?
He'll probably be two.
Okay, he'll be the first quarterback off. So, man, come on. Championship committee blew it. They blew it. They need to go ahead and put in 16 next year.
Just shows how much that Purdue game meant back in October.
Man, Purdue's going to get annihilated. They play.
Whoa. Easy on the boilers. You are on a Fired Up Friday. That's what we're going to start calling it, Fired Up Fridays for Jonathan Birdsong. Here's my thing, and no matter who you put it for, you put Ohio State, you put Georgia, you put Oklahoma, hell, you put Ball State, you put Purdue, you put Michigan, you put Central Florida, it don't matter. Alabama's got a bye. Alabama's going to beat them. They're in the championship. Go ahead and give them a bye.
You think Urban Meyer would let – you think it would be a blowout?
I don't think it'd be a lit. I think he's just going to accept it. That defense is not good at Ohio State. They got lucky because Northwestern got very complacent in that second half in that Big Ten championship game.
I'll co-sign that. You're right. Northwestern did get complacent.
Very. So, but, you know, Clemson, they knocked off Pitt, blew him out, as I called. I said 3 or 4 or 5 touchdowns. I said 1,000-0. Well, it was 42-10. We were close enough.
They inflated the ACC. Anybody else outside of the ACC, Clemson, they inflated their – right, Syracuse, I like Syracuse. They're a good story, man. But they should have been – they were, like, highly ranked, like 15. They should never have been 15.
And they got blasted by Notre Dame.
Correct. Well, again, they – well, we're going to see what Notre Dame got against Clemson. I'm sorry. Who's Notre Dame playing?
Clemson.
Yeah, two ACC teams. Good luck.
Cool. Jonathan Bertal called the ACC. In a game that I put some, I put a little change on because it was Memphis plus 240. I took Memphis money line over Central Florida. Memphis was looking great for the first half. And then Central Florida just poured it on in the second half. Mac, two touchdowns passing. Yeah. I think he had three or four rushing, I think.
It's something special going down there in UCF, man. I don't know what it is. I don't even know if Scott Frost should have left, but whatever he left there, you know, magic's working. Now, you know, people say they need to schedule better, you know, the knock on that, Brandon, is that schedules are made like 2 years in advance, and now nobody's going to schedule UCF. Nobody's going to schedule them, dude. You cannot have UCF come to your house and potentially beat you. And because of the gate, nobody's going to go there. Right? So what do they do? Join the Big, like somebody said, join the Big 12. Man, I thought that was ridiculous. Join the Big 12. That's how Butler. That's how, with my personal opinion, that's how Butler. Butler, you know, it's mad. Like what we watched, Brandon, was magical. With, you know what I mean? Not just it was Brad's a genius and they had, you know, but like Butler, you know, went out, joined the Big East. It's kind of like they should be playing like the Horizons. You know what I mean? They're always going to be middle of the pack in the Big East. So I can kind of compare it to that similar situation.
Well, they saw a guarantee. That athletic department, them just saw the dollars. They saw the dollars coming from the Big East, and that's why they went in there. And, you know, it sucks because it hurts the team.
Right. So what is a team like UCF to do? UCF. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, geographically, I don't know why. It gets goofy for me when historical teams that ain't from the Big 12 join the Big 12. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but West Virginia.
So what is UCF to do? I mean, join one of the Power Fives.
Put them in the Big East.
I don't know.
Or the They're already in the American. The Big East.
Right. Dude, they run. That's almost like a lateral move, but yeah.
Yeah, which I mean, so it'll be interesting.
It's going to be really interesting for them.
And I will tell you this, because you asked me on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
Go.
Hello? You paid in that, bro.
All right. I don't know what happened there. We had a call drop or something.
Technical difficulty.
Something like that. Holy smokes. Anyways, as I was saying, if UCF can knock off Coach O and LSU in this bowl game, next year, I will be on UCF. I will be on their side.
Come on. They already beat Auburn last year. That's when they won the national championship.
Stop it. They got to beat them here. If they don't beat them.
I got you. Be on it. Okay, I got you.
I'll be on it. So, till then.
Better get ready.
Hey, Coach O, he knows how to get his team ready. At least I thought he did. Real quick, looking at some of these matchups, we probably will not do the bowl games this week since this is kind of a shorter show. We'll do them next week, next Tuesday.
All right.
For our show. That way, yeah, I'm available this Tuesday, so we'll do it this Tuesday. But looking at some of these early lines, and we'll update them next week if they change, Purdue is already a plus five underdog against Auburn. Notre Dame is plus 11 against Clemson. And Alabama is minus 13.5 against Oklahoma. So, double digits for both of the semifinals games. Sound about fair?
I don't know about that Notre Dame. I don't know about that Notre Dame person.
I'm telling you, take Notre Dame. Take Notre Dame and that 11 points now before it gets lower.
Wow.
Are they 11 points? I think they'll keep it closer than 11.
Who do you think is going to win the game?
Notre Dame. Because I don't trust – I would have more faith in Clemson if Kelly Bryant was their quarterback.
Well, yeah, he's headed to the Missouri.
Yep, so but that's – I'll play my card there before our picks next week. I have Notre Dame over Clemson there. So some quick hitters, John, this past Monday as well. Freddie Hoiberg, who I called before the season even started, he was going to be on the hot seat. Mr. Hoiberg got fired, let go after just 5 wins. Did not come as a shock.
Didn't come as a shock. I don't know what the plan is in Chicago. I don't think – well, I think ownership just wants to break even on the money, and when, you know, fans start to, you know, grumble about all the losing, then they make a coaching move. They'll hire somebody. I mean, maybe Bowling gets the job or takes the job. I don't know. Maybe, but like, what did they think they was going to get out of that team this year? It couldn't have been the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too young. Not, you know, Valentine. I mean, and Valentine's not going to be. He wasn't a starter or anything, but he's in and out, you know, of the lineup. So it's a young team. They got two guys that can't shoot really, in Levine and Dunn. They are very athletic. So yeah, they can get up and down the court, but, you know, stretching the floor, which is what the NBA kind of is going to now, that's not necessarily something they can do. So it's a team with good-looking parts. You would love to have them, young guys, you know what I mean, but not uniformly together. And I guess they thought Fred Hoiberg was supposed to lead them to the playoffs, but, hell, I don't even know if he can lead that team. I'm sure, yeah, he can lead that team probably to the Final Four. He's so young.
He couldn't even lead it to the Gatorade.
Wow. Here's a good point. He goes, he got a buyout or whatever, you know, goes away for $25 million, and the Bulls get to play out the rest of this season and try to get into the R.J. Barrett or Zion Williamson or Romeo Langford, depending on where you call it, right, Romeo Langford to sweepstakes. I mean, Markin, you know, I know he's been in and out of the lineup, but he had a real good rookie campaign. They have some bright pieces. I can't poo-poo the roster totally, but it's just not all the pieces just don't necessarily fit there.
Yeah, makes total sense. Victor Oladipo is out indefinitely. The Pacers announced no timetable set for his return, but it's looking like January, which currently as we talk right now, the Pacers are in Orlando playing tonight, and the Pacers were +4.5 points against Orlando with no Domantas, no Victor. I took the points. Pacers right now are up 13 points. Aaron Holiday has been, since he's been getting this playing time with Oladipo out, he just buried a big three for Indiana in transition. I kind of like what I'm seeing from this Pacers squad without Depot.
Without Depot, it's concerning for me long term. I just hope something he can work back, and if it needs rest or whatever, because I know the same knee or whatever kind of bug kind of came as the same situation where he was out in and out of the lineup last year for, but, you know, this whole, I'm just hoping as a Pacer fan that comes with rest so that, because we know the season's long, so season's
right.
A marathon, not a sprint. If we have to rest Victor a couple games, you know, because of a legit injury, or, you know what I mean, it's fine with it. The Pacers, as we talked about before, deep enough to, should be able to you know, go through some of this growing pains. It's time. The rookie ain't gonna be a rookie so much more. Hell, I listened to an interview with Darren Collison. He's talking about being more aggressive offensively. And then we all know we want Miles Turner to be aggressive more. And he has put up better stats, Miles Turner has. It's just gonna be hard to beat the elite teams without Victor Oladipo. It's gonna be hard to beat them with them. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the Golden States of the world, the Boston of the world, you know, the Toronto of the world, and even the Lakers when we have to play the Lakers and the Browns of the world. It's gonna be hard to beat those teams, those type of teams without Victor Oladipo. I think the Pacers will be fine because everybody. I mean, like I said, I know Sabonis is out tonight, but even he kind of stepped up since Oladipo's been out. So.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Go ahead.
No. I can say it's not what you wanted, but it's like I said, it's something that hopefully the Patriots can should be able to sustain with the bodies that they have. Hell, even TJ Leaf is getting minutes.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about Oladipo being out and with the knee injury and all this. I mean, my God, we're only 24 games into the season. We're a fourth of the way?
Yeah.
Fourth of the way
through
the season. He's already sitting out multiple games with a knee injury. It's not going to get better, I'll tell you that. I mean, it's going to be one of those things that's going to be chronic all season, most likely, unless he gets surgery and we completely shut him down.
Yeah, that's what I would be thinking, like, long term. So, the good thing, at least for Victor and for the Patriots financially, is that he's not in the type of contract situation, you know.
Right.
So that's a good thing. The other good thing is for Victor is beloved by the organization and by the fan base, and he says all the right things, and assuming he pretty much does all the right things. So.
Yeah, the other night, your boy Miles did well the other night. Night 18 and 11. That's the type of Miles Turner we need, especially with your star player out.
I don't ever think that we get, like, here's the thing, Brandon. This would be worse. I don't ever think it becomes toxic like it came toxic with Chicago and Derrick Rose with Victor Oladipo and the Pacers and the fan base. You know?
No, not at all, ever.
If he can't play, he won't yo-yo us. You see what I'm saying? He won't be where I'm going to play today. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to have surgery. I don't want to have surgery. I don't know. It won't be where, you know, I don't think that'll be the situation at all.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. A few things. We had one trade today pop up. George Hill traded to Milwaukee for Delly. Delly heading back. Sam Decker then went to Washington in a three-way deal.
Man. Just a darling in the Final Four just a couple years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, man. And your boy, George Hill's going everywhere in the Central.
George Hill has to play. In his mind, he thinks he's a starter, right? But, you know, he's great. He's a good combo guard. But, dude, like.
That's a hometown hero now. Come on.
His job is hit open jump shots. And, like, a lot of open jump shots didn't get hit when he was playing LeBron. Like, you don't even have to dribble the ball with LeBron. All you got to do is find your spot. And he's a shooter. That's what he did when he played for the Pacers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But that's all in the past.
I'm shocked they still have your boy JR on the team.
Wayne Embry is rolling over in his grave because I don't know what the hell's going on with this Cleveland Cavaliers. I know I could do better. I know you as a general manager. Like, I get it. Like, so what
I do better on
2K. Right. So what was the point if we're going to get rid of George Hill and his contract? He's a vet. I mean, I kind of just poo-pooed George Hill's whole entire career, like the last two, but I know he's a pro. I don't want to take nothing. He's a pro and he can play basketball, right? And on a good team, which Cleveland wasn't on a good team, he can get you 10 to 12 points still, right? But what was the point, Cleveland, of re-signing Kevin Love to an extension?
Because you needed somebody.
Understand. They don't understand. So in 20,
you had to match
so
up somebody with Zion.
Stop. They have draft picks coming. No, they're not going to get Zion Williams. Well, they potentially could get him, but let's hope the fix is in, like it was in years past with David Stern. And let's hope that somehow he doesn't make it to Cleveland because they don't – like, you would hope that – remember when David Stern took over the New Orleans Hornets?
Yes.
Because – I hope that – not David, the commissioner takes over the Cleveland Cavaliers because they don't know what they're doing.
Adam
the owner I know he doesn't want to own the team anymore, right? We know this. And the general manager, they don't know what they're doing. I can't fire the coach. You gave a guy that you really don't want to extend an extension. You know, I don't know. They don't know what they're doing. They got at least they got draft picks in the trade. They picked up Henson. I don't know why Milwaukee gave up on Henson. Henson was an eraser. I know offensively he's a little challenged, but he's an eraser and a rebounder. But they gave up on Henson. But and Dellavedova, basically, I understand it. Villanova's contract is probably shorter.
Right.
They got
I think so.
Back as a fan favorite type deal, and it'll be all love. But the team stinks, and they'll be in the lottery from here on to 2025.
Yeah. There's apparently per Bleacher Report, the New York Knicks are building a mega offer for John Wall. They would trade Frank Nakina, Damian Dotson, Courtney Lee, a 2020 first-round pick, and a second-round pick as part of a three-team swap to bring John Wall to Madison Square
Garden.
Do it. You pulled the trigger.
Well, no, because, the Knicks feel like they got to do something, but that's like...
If they do that, they are out of the Supermax with Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah. But they don't know no better. That's why they should do it. They're stuck with Frank Nikita because, you know, that was Phil's pick when, you know, there were other guards, you know what I'm saying, available that were better than him. He might be the most mature because I know he played, you know what I mean, from France, and I know he played, you know what I mean, at an early age across the seas or whatever, but he's not. He wasn't a lottery guy. The Knicks feel like they have to do something in order to try to woo Kevin Durant as he is the one, or even Klay Thompson, which I doubt Klay Thompson comes all the way east, but they're trying to build something. They don't want to be in the middle, and they don't want to be like because it, you know what, Brandon? Whoever is Donnie Walsh ain't there no more, is he? I don't think.
No, he's with Indiana.
Okay, good. They don't have anybody smart enough to pick somebody, a lottery guy, right? Somebody a lottery. Matter of fact, Brandon, I don't think they have like lottery picks. I don't think. Any first rounders.
I don't think they do.
See,
I don't think. Let me take a look while you're talking.
They kind of have to make a move, kind of. Because they don't have enough. They don't have they don't have a smart, savvy general manager that can find that treasure at the bottom of the lottery the bottom of the first round or find those guys who's across the season mature. The Knicks just don't have that. They don't have that culture no more. That might be where they need to start before they start to go to trade for John Wall or anything. But I think Washington has to trade John Wall and probably Bradley Beal because, you know, I'm not saying John Wall and Bradley Beal are criminals, but they've let the inmates run the asylum and it's time to start over in Washington.
The Knicks do have a first-round pick.
They feel like they need to do something. They really do.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yep. I agree. Let's see. Where am I at? Oh, I mentioned to you last night or the night before. I can't remember which one it is. But Melo. Apparently, and LeBron rumors are heating up again, and then they said it's not happening, and then they say they were talking, so don't really know where that sits at. The banana boat could come on if Rob Pelinka and Magic won it.
Do the Lakers need another assistant coach?
I don't know why you keep hating on the cancer Carmelo Anthony.
You know, here's what's but I got into conversation. Well, I didn't get into I just like listen. Conversations like because like what's name came out and said it's toxic to play with LeBron. It could be toxic to play with LeBron James, right? So Kevin Durant said this, right? So again, that kind of just points back to him saying let's go the easier air out and let's go play with the champ or somebody who can already win, right?
Right.
So people were saying, like, man, nobody wants to come play with LeBron. Ain't no free agents coming to play with LeBron. Like, it's all, like, dump on LeBron because, like, it's so hard to play with LeBron. So what's so hard playing with LeBron? All he does is get you to the title game. I get it that he's 1-8. But if you Paul George, how many times have you been to the finals? None? Right?
Yeah.
If you're Russell Westbrook, how many times have you been to the finals? I know he went once, but he ain't been back since, right?
Right.
If you're James Harden, I'm going down the top NBA guys and say they why would you want to go? I'm saying I don't understand. Why wouldn't you want to go play with LeBron James?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would.
I don't understand. So, and then the conversation is more branded into. he can't get nobody to play with him because he's ball dominant. Da, 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 da. I'm like, well, damn, man. How many people ran in there, I'm talking about for the Lakers, they ran in and played for with Kobe Bryant. They had to trade pieces to get people to come. So I don't buy into, I don't buy into the toxic. I don't buy into it. Guys want to get paid. Guys want to win, you know. But I don't know,
yeah.
Brandon. I don't know. I don't know what this. I really don't know what the landscape's going to look like next year.
Yeah, because I'm so confused on this Houston team. I sent you a thing last night that they're down 35 points to the Utah Jazz. What in the hell is going on?
They're not going to – it looks like – I mean, Chris Paul had a quote. It said that don't leave us out. Like, dude, you're 11-15, and you're playing the West where we know the West, like, a half a game, you could be first or you could be sixth.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, for real. So, I mean, I'm not going to a whole diatribe of wild.
I think them and the Spurs are the last two teams in the West.
Well, you know what? Spurs need to shut it down, shut it down.
That's your boys. The Spurs are your boys.
It's time to sell off the pieces, Pop. Sell them off.
Bring in Zion.
Make sure you get them. I mean, they got guys. I mean, they didn't tank. They just didn't sign a whole lot of players the year they got Tim Duncan. And then Dave Robson, miraculously healed. And there you go, five championships later. So,
yeah.
I don't know if Houston's going to make it. I don't know. I have doubts. But I know
yeah.
The season's long, but I have doubts.
I think they get the right to ship together, and they get it done. Now, John, I went back two nights ago, I couldn't sleep. So, you know, I went into a rabbit hole on YouTube, and
okay.
I was up very late, and I saw you were up late without a couple tweets,
yep.
But I found a video of the day, and I want to put your thinking hat on. You may remember this, you may not. The 2002 Western Conference Finals, Game 6, Los Angeles Lakers, Sacramento Kings. Do you remember this?
This is Chris Webber.
Yes, this is Webber, Vlade, Bobby Jackson.
Somebody's going to guard Shaq.
Well, no. This is where the Kings are going into Game 6, up 3-2. The Kings were 62-20 for the season. Lakers
okay.
are going for their third straight title. Turmoil, Shaq out of shape. Shaq and Kobe are fighting. But the
well,
Kings were playing.
That went kind of to like afterwards when they got to Detroit, I thought.
I think
no,
they were doing some argument. Anyways, watching this game, Game 6. John, this game is known on Twitter because I went from Twitter to find some articles that this is the most blatant, obvious, rigged NBA game in the history of the NBA. And I'm going to tell you why. That fourth quarter, the Los Angeles Lakers shot 27 free throws in the fourth quarter. Some people don't even get that many in a fucking game, let alone 27.
Oh,
they shot 42 free throws overall. The Kings, they shot 19 for the game. Some of these foul calls, John, if you go back and watch the YouTube video, and there's one that has it pretty clear, some of these foul calls on Chris Webber, to get his sixth foul, to get Vlade Divac's sixth foul, to get Mike Bibby got elbowed completely to the face by Kobe Bryant right in front of the official. No call there. There were so many blatant calls late in that fourth quarter that the Kings were just sitting there like shaking their head and falling to the ground like, what the fuck is this shit? Rick Adelman,
yes.
He pissed off at it. But that game there, the most rigged NBA game I've ever seen. And you know who one of those officials was?
I said Tim Donaghy.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
You get a chance. You get on the rabbit hole tonight, tomorrow night. Go back and watch the Game 6 2002 Western Conference Finals. Watch the final. It'll show the whole fourth quarter. Somebody put the whole fourth quarter up there. But watch
I'll
the final
it.
7 minutes.
I'll check it out, man. That was That was a talent. That was a real talent of the Kansas City team. I mean, Kansas City. They used to play in Kansas. That was Kings did. That was a talent of the Sacramento Kings. It was deep. It was kind of Kirk Blue, Chris Webber,
Bobby Jackson, Bibby.
But hold on, Brandon. Because I remember a different game where Turk Blue went ice cold, like Iceman, because Rick Fox was D'ing that ass up. Sorry, I had to cuss myself.
That might have been game seven.
Number one. Pardon me?
That might have been game seven. But game six, the Kings had a wrap.
Come on, game six. All right. Well, you're saying the Pistons kind of forced game seven. I promise I'll go back. But my late nights, man, are – I always try to find great promos.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that stunning Steve Austin, and I said stunning Steve Austin, when he first got fired from WCW, and he got fired, and then, 2 seconds after he got fired, he was in a camera in front of ECW with Paul Heyman, or Paulie Dangerously back in the day, what he used to be called. That is probably – it's in my top – oh, man, I kind of want to – it's in my top two promos of all time.
Oh, wow.
Because – Steve Austin. I mean, it's before you seen CM Punk, right? It is. Before
is this Hollywood Blondes?
With who?
Is this Hollywood Blondes? Steve Austin?
No, this is Steve Austin. He got fired from WCW. He was pissed, and
After him and Pillman.
It was real raw. And he lets it all out. I'll shoot you the link, man. You've probably seen it before, though. But it was in between the times between working between WCW and WWE before it became the Ringmaster, before it became Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, interesting. I know you get in that rabbit hole. I see those promos go out late at night.
Oh yeah, I love wrestling promos, man. Especially the ones that
you. I sent you ones last night, late at night. I figured you're still awake watching LeBron go crazy.
Yeah, the Undertaker.
The Undertaker as well.
Is the Undertaker one in your top five?
Oof. No, not in the top five.
Oh, he's not in your top five. Okay, I was just curious.
He may not even be my top 10.
Oh wow, you're offending a lot of people out here.
I know I am. It's gonna piss a lot of people off, but that's what I do. That's what I do best. Just piss people off. Maybe 11. 10 or 11.
Okay.
He may snip then. But it's when I saw that hot tag, and I love it, and you're only going to see that in house shows. They're not going to sit there and I've noticed when I went to different events that the extra stuff that the wrestlers do for the fans that you see on a live show than you would see what's on TV, and they go out of their way. They're more personable with the fans. They're more into it. They do that crazy stuff, and I love it. So it was cool to see Taker do that.
Yeah, the TV stuff is too scripted now. It's too they give them a sheet to read singly, most of them, and that's kind of why I haven't watched WWE wrestling. And
I know you're boycotting it.
I still read the game. I still read the sheets, the dirt sheets afterwards. But
yeah,
I mean, till they take that off Brock, I'm not watching it.
The last WWE thing I just watched, what was it? I watched, I'm going back right now. I'm on a deep rabbit hole at night when I get off of work or whatnot before I fall asleep. WCW Nitros right now. I'm going back watching old Nitros.
That's because you never watched it before, right?
I did. No, I did watch it. I did watch, but I did a lot of flipping back and forth. But this is 1995, 96. I watched a great match, triple threat between Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, and Dean Malenko. That was a hell of a triple threat match I saw the other night on one of those.
Brandon, you know the real reason why WCW lost is because those three guys you just said, plus Chris, did you say Chris Jericho too?
I said Benoit, Jericho.
Benoit, Jericho, Malenko, WCW would only let them be mid-carders.
Yeah.
So when WWE promised them, hey, you can be mid-carders and in the main event, That's when WCW failed. That's when they failed. They held on to the NWO and Kevin Nash's advantage too long.
Yeah, the NWO went way too long. With Hogan there, then Hogan leaving, and then there's a DVD and there's a program out for the NWO. One of the WCW wrestlers, I can't think who it was. It might have been Flair, and somebody else goes, the whole damn locker room was NWO. They're just going to beat up everybody. I mean, there's only two of us left that were WCW.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. It didn't make good wrestling sense at all.
You had the NWO, you had the Wolfpack, then you had the LWO, the Latino World Order. So it was interesting. End of the show here, John. I've got to know. And you're a big movie buff here, as we always say, and you give me a round of applause for that, because you're really, really good at it. What's your thoughts on the new Avengers trailer?
Look, man. I will say it was good. It didn't show you too much, okay? So we did get to see a returning hero who wasn't in the last movie. We get to see Hawkeye, and he's kind of in like ninja suit. He's carrying a sword instead of his standard bow and arrow. I don't want to lead into too many spoilers. I mean, if you haven't seen the trailer, people need to go see it. Ant-Man shows up at the end of the trailer. Scott Lang at the Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Shows up at the end.
I was confused by that.
Well, they got a – Captain America has a plan. And
okay.
He says in the trailer. So whatever plan he has, I mean, what we'll learn. But let's remember, also, the beginning of the trailer, Iron Man – is trying to get back to the Earth, and I will assume that he has a plan as well.
Yeah.
And somehow, their plan, Captain America, Iron Man, and probably whenever we go see Captain Marvel, which comes out, I don't know if you've seen that trailer. Did you see the Captain Marvel trailer? That came out.
I have not seen it.
Okay, whenever, because there are all these movies, there all these heroes are going to come together, and hopefully stop Thanos.
Interesting.
And
well,
and hopefully make everything right that was wrong.
I'm upset I didn't get to see Thanos in the trailer. I was hoping to get a cameo of him, but didn't even get that.
They can't show you everything. There's gonna be some more. I think we're on for a wild ride. And
okay.
You're talking to a smart Mark who knows comic books inside and out. Kind of knows the storyline of like how this happens. And I think we're all in for a wild ride. Really
good. Okay. And we don't have no Walking Dead because we're on a winter break for Walking Dead. So,
it's because, you know, man, I can't wait though. February can't come fast.
Exactly. I just saw an ad on TV that showed them already. So, and rumor I just read was by next winter, the first Rick Grimes movie should be out.
Wow. Rick Grimes movie.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be first in line to see it. Actually, it's most likely a made-for-TV movie, I believe.
No,
I'll
be made-for-TV. Right.
So, when you get a moment, you get down that rabbit hole, you send me your Stunning Steve Austin link, and then I'll send you the link for the fourth quarter massacre rigged NBA game.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
Doug Christie was on that team, too. I totally spaced Doug Christie.
Yeah, like I said, that was a deep talented team, and you know, shout out, you know, Rick Adelman, he took a Portland team to the finals.
Yes.
That's the a lot of people don't know. I mean, after Michael Jordan hit all those threes, they forget that Rick Adelman coached that Portland Trailblazers team. But it's a shame that Rick Adelman never did get. He got to the finals, but it's a shame they never did get to win.
Yep, absolutely. Little housekeeping. Real quick, we are going to do a show this Tuesday, folks, so join us regular scheduled time, 7 p.m. Tuesday. We will do another show the following week. I don't know the date yet. I haven't seen a schedule for me yet, so we'll see if we're going to have it then. And then we will take a week off. We'll take a week off with it being Christmas. And then we will either do a late one that week or we will come back the following week. So more to come on that. We'll post everything once we get more of an idea on that. Any big plans this weekend for you, John?
Man, just got a couple. We got to get this shopping done because I don't like late shopping. So definitely got to get this shopping
done. I love late shopping. I am actually going to a movie after this podcast tonight. Gonna go see me and the old lady are gonna go see Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet. So
yeah, I think my kid wants to go see that. Well, that's one of the list of the movies that we have to go see. Or should
I
or suggest it.
Yeah, I love the first one.
Do I need to see the first one?
I
got the first one on DVD, but I haven't watched it.
I would, because there's some characters in there that you need to know their backstory, kind of how they get played into this one.
Okay.
So, like Ralph's sidekick, you're going to need to know her backstory and what you are, you won't understand kind of that. Or you can just read the Cliff Notes version too. But I think you'd enjoy the movie.
Okay. All right.
So,
well,
we'll see what kind of Colts team we get Sunday. It'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. If they don't win Sunday, it's still a good season, but we will not be making the playoffs.
And real quick, Andy Katz, college basketball, put out his first bracket. We're already talking bracketology. He has 10 Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament. A little much, Andy.
That's a little much. The Big Ten is good. I just can't see 10.
You had two good wins. 2-point wins, yeah, but they were good wins against Northwestern team, and then they Penn State was tough on the road.
And I will see.
Plenty to come on that. So,
yep.
All right, John. Well, thanks for joining us again, and we'll see you Tuesday night, and you have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Do the same, Brandon. Thanks for everybody for listening.
See you, buddy. All right, that was Jonathan Birdsong. We'll finish up with a quick ad and get on out of here.
Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism, specializing in aerial photography and videography using the highest quality drone equipment. Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights.
All right, that was Thank You Again, Drone Pro Media, one of the sponsors, and as well as Blog Talk Radio. We're going to get out of here this evening. Thank you guys for joining us for a late night, Friday night edition of Crossroads Sports Radio. We'll be back on Tuesday for our regular program at 7 p.m. Everybody have a safe weekend. Enjoy your sports, and we'll see you Tuesday.
Crossroads Sports.